둘, 셋, 파!
For Hey Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 8.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
I literally I'm on tour and was just taking a nap.
Consequence Podcast Network.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks as always for making your way here, checking out the episode. Please do hit that subscribe button while you're hanging around. You get three new interviews every single week. That's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones as well. Of course, you can do so at all the usual spots, including iTunes and Apple Podcasts, at Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And that's me. I'm Kyle Meredith today, talking with Lauv, back with a brand new record called All for Nothing. Just got released a few weeks ago. We're going to be talking about the album and his current tour. Lauv's going to tell us about, well, the existential crisis that really led to this record, using inner child therapy and meditation and being able to talk to his younger self through the songs. He's also going to discuss how he approached writing about his drug use, as well as Lauv's Meditation Club. It's a hotline that fans can call to get guided meditations from him regularly. All that's and a whole lot more. We're talking All for Nothing. It's Kyle Meredith with Lauv.
Hi, how are you?
It's great to see you here. You look very comfortable and wherever you are right now.
I'm cozy, just in my tour bus in Philly.
On tour and touring behind an excellent new record. Let me throw out the congratulations first. It's a really powerful piece that you've done this time.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
How has it been, because you're what, a couple of weeks on tour at this point? We're going to get into it because this, as you say, it is a personal record. It's a powerful record, the things you're talking about. How has it been singing these songs night after night already?
It's been amazing. It's like more people every night know the words, which is really cool. Yeah, it's kind of scary in moments, but it's been really fun.
That's what we think about because, I've heard you say that you hear this as a joyous record because of where you're going. But on the surface, it does. It almost comes across as a dark dance record at times.
Yeah.
And to be dealing with what you're dealing with. I mean, I know that's what, you know, as songwriters, you kind of go through all the time, but it feels like this. Does it feel like it's any different this time around with this set of songs?
Definitely. I mean, this is kind of the first time I feel like I really like just fully let go and I wrote it in a very just freestyled way. I didn't really think about it. You know, I wanted to specifically not think. I was dealing with a lot of kind of anxiety going into the album. So I was like, I'm just gonna see what's there underneath all of that.
Well, it's, you know, talking about it, because it is, as you say, it's a personal record. Sometimes that almost comes across like it's used a lot. Oh, it's my most personal record. But then you listen to this and you're like, oh, this does really sound like we're tackling like big topics. I don't know. Could we talk a bit about that? Because there is a bit of an existential crisis that leads into this. Is that right?
Yeah. Definitely a big kind of just questioning everything in my life and why I had it, what it even meant to me, why I wasn't happy as a person regardless. I think I realized, you know, I hit a point where I had so much kind of like, I guess like success that happened fairly quickly in my career that kind of, and I was left in this place where I still felt very empty on the inside and kind of, yeah, I was like facing that feeling.
It does. It feels like a lot, but you get that right off the bat. I mean, you dive straight into it. That very first track, 26. Yeah. And as a songwriter, how tricky is that? Because here you are, you're singing about success. You're singing about the thing that most people, you know, would love to have, and the struggle with that, like, you know, whether it's not all it's a cracked up to be, or you're not finding what you need, like, you know, so you've got that personal side, but as a songwriter side, how do you approach a song like that to try to get that message out?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. I honestly, that song was so freestyled, I really didn't even think about crafting it in any way. It was all like, I got the chords going and then just like had the microphone and I was kind of surprised by every lyric that was coming out. Like, I was like, did I really just say that? Is that really how I feel? Like, it was intense. So I don't know. There probably is honestly a better way to craft it. I don't even know.
But it's interesting then how it speaks. Like, you know, I think there were fans really quickly to point it out, like almost a through line from the song Billy. Like, do you hear those moments as you're doing them? You're like, oh, okay. That's talking to each other.
Yeah, Billy, it's interesting because Billy is like a different version. Yeah, that's really cool. That's a cool comparison. I appreciate that.
So getting into the record then, because again, here you are, you're dealing with things. Freestyling, I think that's a really interesting way of doing it. You talk about therapy a lot, and I know, you know, the stream of consciousness is a great way to write. You did some, was it inner child therapy? That was part of this?
Yeah.
Like, how does that find its way into the record as well?
I guess like I was just kind of, I got exposed to this inner child meditation when I was at a therapy retreat, and it was something that really clicked for me in a big way. And I started kind of looking more into that kind of work and practicing inner child meditation. And, I just found that, you know, a big part of that hole that I was trying to fill, you know, inside of myself, or that lack of confidence or that lack of happiness, had to do with like not being okay with myself and like not having a connection, you know, with my inner child and like my vulnerability, you know? And, so that was kind of the whole mission, was like, get back in touch with that part of myself, feel that, stop escaping it, stop trying to numb it out, stop trying to run away from it, you know, just like feel it. So
you get to like kind of speak directly to yourself on the record then. Is that how you saw it? Like, could you talk a bit more about that? Because, you know, I think we hear that term a lot, the inner child, you know, but what is
right.
What does it mean in this situation?
Yeah. So for me, it was like visualizing myself at a younger age and kind of like going back to certain memories and trying to like be able to now, as the more experienced adult that I am, tell the younger version of myself, like what he needed to hear at that time that he didn't get to hear from somebody else. And to try to, because like that part of myself is still acting every day out of a wound, you know what I mean? Like the part of me that was really insecure or awkward or this, or, you know, whatever it might be, still comes out, gets triggered all the time because I haven't, you know, dealt with like, oh, hey, I needed to be able to like work on that in that moment. So it's a lot of that kind of stuff. I mean, I also, you know, there's a song, Hey Ari, on the album. That's like a very, like, that one was kind of like a letter to myself, just kind of a conversation. Yeah. I mean, there's, yeah, a lot of different kind of pieces of it, I guess.
I mean, the album ends. If we start in the present, we end at first grade in a way.
Yeah.
How is that when you think about the album in a through line as an album? I'm saying not as a collection of tracks, but as the story told. You know, why are we left at first grade at the end of this, or talking to first grade, I should say?
I guess I see it kind of like in some levels, like almost like a bit of a return to like innocence, or like kind of, you know, starting the album with like the problem. Like, here's where I'm at, here's what I'm feeling, 26, prelude, like feeling empty, even though there's so much beautiful stuff going on in my life. And First Grade is sort of a song that I think in all the ups and downs of the album, of like the healing moments and in this more self-sabotaging moments and whatever, First Grade is a nice kind of like place to land. That's just like that return to like that innocence and that belief in yourself and all that.
You premiered that last night, right? Did I read that?
Made it was live the first premiere. Time I sang it live, yeah.
Yeah, and that's you know, is that the plan? I mean, are there still tracks on here that you haven't done live? Is there a reason why you're kind of spreading them out like that?
Yeah, I've just been kind of feeling it out, you know, because I also, my last album came out right before, you know, the pandemic started. So I like have two new albums worth of music I have to fit into the show. So I'm trying to like pick the right songs and everything.
Yeah, that's got to be an interesting challenge to have two albums like that. I mean, luckily your fans, I mean, they've been able to live with one of them for a long time in this one, so
right,
that's got to be interesting. Like, I've never performed this live, but yet everybody knows it,
right? Yeah, no, it's definitely interesting, and it's hard to pick all the songs because I love all the different eras, so it's like it's hard to be like whatever cutting songs out.
And we'll be right back right after this. Tour set
pop. Jorge Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 8.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
And we're back. You're listening to Kyle Meredith with Lauv. To go on one of the other big things that you hit on with this record, I mean, you get a song like Time After Time and Bad Trip and Molly in Mexico. These are songs of substances, yeah. I should say.
Yeah.
Which you didn't try to run away from. I mean, it's there. You know, this is part of the story. How did you want to tell that part of the story?
Yeah, I guess I wanted to just tell it as raw as possible without ever like recommending that anyone do anything by any means, you know, because it was like I kind of went through a lot of, in that existential questioning part of my life, a lot of experimentation, a lot of curiosity, and also kind of gotten to some really bad and harmful habits that I'm not proud of. But that was the reality that I was living in. You know, I always basically just take my reality and turn it into songs. And I have, you know, a lot of love for the songs, you know, and for their own little messed up way that they are. Yeah. And I guess I just wanted to share that, you know, which is a piece of what was going on, I guess.
I mean, there's no glorification.
I don't want that.
Much in those songs. Right. Which, by the way, Bad Trip, I love the feel of that song. It might be.
Thank you.
Like the way the guitar drives on that one. Like that's. We should ask about the music while we're here. I mean, did you have that in mind, like what this album should sound like?
I kind of knew. So I knew that I was starting to back off a little bit on the production myself. Like I was a little bored of what I was doing as the main producer. So I started working with a few friends of mine and really kind of developed into this direction that the album is, that is a little bit more upbeat and driving. And, you know, especially songs like Bad Trip or I Don't Have a Problem or, I don't know. Those were some of my like favorites sonically. But yeah, working with amazing producers like John Cunningham and Digi and Simon and a lot of really cool people. And yeah, it was definitely a different process.
Guy Lawrence, part of that too, right? Disclosure?
Yeah.
I love Disclosure. Like what's that relationship like? Like what do you all bring to each other?
So another amazing producer is a friend of mine on the album, Jakob. He actually had the beat he made with Guy from Disclosure, And I had never even met or spoken to Guy, and then did, like, you know, a few months later. But I just loved the beat. I was like, this beat is amazing. And so then we worked on the song together.
Is it possible to come up with a dark dance record? Yes. It doesn't all the way always happen, but this is a cool, dark sounding dance record, you know, for whatever the lyrics might come to represent. Just that tone. I mean, it's a mood. It's a good mood.
Thank you. Thank you.
So, I know, you know, as we talk about mental health, World Mental Health Day is on the way again this year, which you've done some things on the last few years. Are you doing something big again this year for that? Is that in the plans?
I don't have actually anything in particular planned at this moment, but I definitely would like to do something. Yeah, it's crazy that much time has passed already. I can literally think of what I was doing last. That's so insane. That's nuts. Yeah.
Yeah, we're not nuts. Far. We're like a month and a half away from that, I think. Is what
that's crazy. No, I got to do something. I'll probably do something with my... I just started this thing called Lao's Meditation Club that I'm like... have a phone number that people can call, and I'm guiding meditations because meditation has been like my number one thing of recent to, like, in terms of dealing with my mental health. And maybe I'll do something. I would love to do something in combination with meditation, I think would be really awesome.
Yeah. I saw the meditation club. So what is that? Is that like a pre-recorded thing and people call in and listen to it that way? Is
yeah.
That what it is?
For now, it's basically just like, I basically tape my own meditations, and then, people can call in and hear the pre-recorded meditation, trying to basically do it like every day or every couple of days. Cause I'm, you know, I'm meditating, especially on tour, like, you know, probably twice a day. So all I need to do is find a quiet area so I can record it and then upload it to the phone. But yeah, it's something fun I'm trying out. I'd like to develop it further. I haven't figured out exactly what it's going to be yet, but yeah.
Is there a challenge in meditating twice a day, especially on tour? I mean, you're in a different place every time. It's not like it's the most, like, how hard is it to find that spot of comfort?
I would, luckily with my AirPods, I can just put on like a YouTube guided meditation, and that's actually works super well. Or like in my bunk right now, like where I'm at in my bed. So, but it can be hard because usually I like to do one right before stage. And that's like, you know, like when there's so much music going on. So.
Well, I know you're putting a lot of positivity out in the world, and I always appreciate that. And with this album too, again, All for Nothing, it's a powerful record that you put out there. Again, I just throw the congrats at you.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for taking the time to talk, and enjoy the tour and the lap of luxury of the bus you got going there.
I'm so excited. This tour is sick.
Right on. We will see you around.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
And my thanks to Lau. The new record is called All for Nothing. Thanks to you as well for checking out the episode. Do hit that subscribe button while you're here. Again, you get 3 brand new interviews every single week. A new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to keep you up to date on your favorite artists and discover some new ones at iTunes, Apple Podcasts, at Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Then after that, head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern. It's an hour full of song premieres, music news, anniversary spins, bonus interviews, Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on the old social media spots. Let's see, Facebook, Instagram, mostly Twitter. All 3 of them. The web address is at Kyle Meredith. So I do hope you like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.